There are some things we say and we don't know why we say them. There's some things we say that we've been saying them for a long time. We just say them because everybody else says them. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. By the way, I was born with a plastic spoon in my mouth. Just kidding. And there's a ton of other things that we say that we think we know what they mean. We think we know when we say them that sometimes we think that they're in the Bible. My name is Keith Harcum. I'm your lead pastor at Palm Harbor, and I'm excited to continue in our series, Things We Say. Maybe you've said some things before, some of these sayings that we say, and you say them and you're not really sure whether they're true or whether the things that you're saying mean what they say. Sometimes we say things and we think they're in the Bible, and they're the kind of things we've been going over the last few weeks here. We've got one left after this. God won't give you more than you can handle. We talked about that in the first week. God helps those who help themselves. And then this week, we're talking about everything happens for a reason. Maybe some of you have said that. Maybe you've had somebody say that to you. Raise your hands of those who, somebody said that to you. Yeah. Sometimes people say that and they don't know why they're saying it. Sometimes things will happen like a hurricane, like a natural disaster, like an unforeseen death in the family. And people say these words because they think they should say something and they're nervous and they don't know what to say. And they say, everything happens for a reason. Sometimes a hurricane will come and take out a whole strip of houses and people will be injured and there'll be some fatalities. Sometimes a mass flood will happen and people will drown. Sometimes some person with mental health problems will go into a school and just do what they thought was the right thing to do. And 19 children lose their lives. 19 families are impacted by this one event. And people say, everything happens for a reason. By saying that, we say that actually the hurricane was God's will and the hurricane happened so that those people could die. That the flood happened so that we could control a population. That we don't know why this happened, but God's got a mighty plan in people suffering. Everything happens for a reason. In the last service, some people said amen when I said that. And the question is this in the Bible? Do we get this from our Bibles that everything happens for a reason? Well, we'll take a little dive. It'll take more of a dive than the whole scripture to figure it out. But we'll take a little dive in our scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the 66 books. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. We take a look at this to see whether this statement is true, whether it comes from our Bibles or not. Everything happens for a reason. And we'll go to Proverbs first. We're going to put it on the screen. You can read along if you've got a Bible with you or open your app on your phone. This is a good time to do that. We'll go to Proverbs first. Now, Proverbs is a sayings from Solomon to his son. He wrote a bunch of sayings, but we've got 31 chapters here in which to look at. Now, from this statement, we can see that maybe this is the place to say everything happens for a reason. We're going to read this in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4. The Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for the day of disaster. So it can seem from this text that indeed, everything happens for a reason. God sets everything up. God sets everything up, even the wicked, to accomplish his purposes, to accomplish what he would want. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. You might know the song that goes with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. This is a poem, more wisdom sayings for us who want to live a life to follow God. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1, it says, "For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. A time to live, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest," and this goes on of the different seasons in life. So it seems that God sets up these seasons, and we can do nothing about it, and everything just happens for a reason. These seasons are set up, and God just sets it all up. Well, what does Jesus say about this? What does Jesus say about this statement? Everything happens for a reason. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29, the beginning, the first gospel. Verse 29 says this. He's talking to his disciples. He's teaching them how they should go around the villages. And he says to them, "What is the price of two sparrows? A copper coin." And then he says, "But not a single sparrow will fall to the ground without your Father knowing. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered." So it seems that God knows every sparrow and every animal that's going to die, everything that's going to set up for a reason, and God even knows every hair on your head. For some of us, that's a lot of hairs. For some of us, it's a few hairs. But it seems like he knows everything and he's set everything in motion, and all we're to do is to just sit back and say, everything happens for a reason. Is God concerned with being in our life that much? Jesus, it seems, controls everything. The sparrows knows everything in our life, and therefore there is nothing that we can do to attain to follow God's will because he's already set it up. A great theologian, John Calvin, said that everything is set up. God is sovereign and everything is put in place, and some are destined for life with eternity with Christ, and some are destined to another place. And there is nothing that you can do about it. There is no choice. There is no participation with God. God's not involved in my life on earth. Only that God sets it up, and we go where God says it. This is called Calvinism. God is ordaining everything, and only he knows the way. God sets up, and we have no choice in the matter. God sets up all of our world, all of the things within our world, you and me, and we have no choice. In my previous life, I was in the Royal Navy, some of you may know. And one of my jobs was to enforce an arms embargo during the Kosovan War. And our ship was deployed with NATO, and it deployed and patrolled up and down the Adriatic Sea between Italy and Yugoslavia then. And our job was to make sure that merchant vessels and ships did not have arms on the ship that was supplying to the Kosovans. And that was our job. And that involved jumping on the ship via a helicopter to board the ship to search for arms and weapons on that ship. So it was coming towards the end of the arms embargo, and then they sent a group of sailors to be trained to do this jumping out of the helicopter with highly trained sailors. Doesn't exist, people. And the idea was that we would jump out of the helicopter on a rope. So we train 6 foot off a gantry, 6 foot, 10 foot, and then 15 foot. And one of the, there was a couple of commands to follow. One of them was you had this hand on your shoulder, meant go. And then the second one was hold fast. And we'd train for a couple of weeks, making sure we could grab hold of the rope, jump out of the helicopter, grab hold of the rope, and land softly on the deck of the ship. So the ship would come up to the ship to be boarded. Our ship would come up to be boarded, and they'd say, hands to boarding stations. And the helicopter would go off, and a group of us would get in the helicopter and jump on the ship. So you'd sit on the edge of the helicopter, jump out, and fall gently down to the ground. It was a lot of fun. And we walk around the ship, check out for weapons. Sometimes they were just happy to see us because we're coming towards the end. You know, they'd say, oh, you're English, you come and get a cup of tea, you know, kind of thing. So that was just kind of the fun thing that was going on sometimes. But on this particular occasion, I was steering the ship, and my friend who was in the other watch, Darby, was jumping out of the helicopter. I knew that he was first out. He was always first out because he was on the edge of the helicopter waiting to go. And like I said, there was two orders. There was this one, this is the big one, and then should something happen, whilst you were going down the rope, there was a loud command, hold fast. Should that happen, should the flight observer, the pilot's help, should he say that you were meant to grab onto the rope as hard as you could, wrap your leg around the rope, and then stand on the rope that was around your foot. So they were the two commands. So my friend Darby was dropping down the rope, and all of a sudden, the aircraft pulled away from the ship. Does Darby have a choice? Does Darby have the opportunity to stop what is happening, or is he predestined to land in a big snotty heap on the ship? Is he predestined to land in the Adriatic Sea? Is the helicopter predestined to wrap itself up in the radars and the whips of the other ship and fall to the ground? Choice was what Moses was talking about when he was speaking to the Israelites on Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. Ebal and Gerizim, significant places in our Jewish history where the woman at the well met Jesus. Ebal and Gerizim are the either side of him. And on these two mountains is where Moses gave the Ten Commandments. In fact, just before this, they would shout the curses and blessings. And in chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, he gets them on the mountain. It's 6 tribes on this side, 6 tribes on that side, and the Levites are in the middle. And they'd shout the blessings and curses back and forth. And they'd say, your children with your congregation will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. And they'd shout, amen. Some of you are shouting amen. And then they talk about the curses and say, cursed is the one who treats his neighbor poorly. Cursed is the one who treats the alien poorly. And they shout, amen, and go back and forth. And this is where we are today in our scripture. We are at Ebal and Gerizim. And Ebal is the place where the Ten Commandments have been left. So we're in Deuteronomy chapter 30. So it's right towards the end. Chapter 30, verse 11, and we're going to read it in chunks. If you've got your Bible, this is the chunk of our message today. Verse 11 says, the command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you and is not beyond your reach. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? It is not kept beyond the sea, so far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Moses had said to the people, at Ebal, now I want you to write these 10 commandments down on 2 tablets. And these commandments, the Ten Commandments. The first four deal with our relationship to God, and the next six deal with our relationship with each other. And these commandments were now on tablets. We're now on a tablet. But Moses says to him, they're not far away from you. You don't need to go on a great quest to find these. You don't need to go across the Adriatic Sea or the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean to find them. These are very close to you. In fact, they're so close to you that when you say them, when they come on your lips, it feels good. When you say them, oh, have no other gods before me. Oh, that feels good to say. It's probably best if I have no other gods before anything else. Amen? God wants us to have his interests at the forefront. And he says, when this is on your lips, it feels good when it's rolling off your tongue. This feels good. The commands of God feels good. In fact, when you say them, they feel good to your heart also. And he says, this is not far from you. This is not something that's alien to you. This is not something you need to go on a great quest. They're in your heart, and you can obey them. They're in your heart, and you can obey them. There is another thought from John Calvin mentioned that everything is ordained by God and we can't do anything, and everything's set up so that only God knows what's going on and we don't have any participation. There's another thought called deism, which says that God set up the world, he set up the heavens and set up the earth, left it to spin, and was an absentee landlord, and let us make our own decisions to what we did with the world. The two are opposed against each other, and Moses is right in the middle, talking for God. And he says to them, he's about to die, he's 120 years old. He's about to die, and this is kind of his last hurrah. He's got another chapter after this, but he's just kind of handing over to Joshua. And he says to the people, now, listen. Now, see here. Hey, check this out. Listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, and to keep his commandments. Keep his commandments, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Moses has been talking to these people for 40 years. He's been giving them choices for 40 years. He's been telling them for years how to follow God. And he's like, look, I am dying now. Listen up. You got a choice. You can choose between life and death, prosperity and evil. And the two words there are tov and ra. Tov means goodness, greatness. It means the things that God is passionate about. And ra means evil, wicked, things that God is not passionate about in your life. Tov is the same word when God was creating the earth, and he created the heavens and the earth, and he said it was good. It's went the same word when he created man and created plants and animals, and he said it was tov. That's exactly the same word. He says, choose between tov and ra. Ra is wickedness, evil, anything that is contrary to God's will for your life. Choose between these two things and keep my commandments, the 10 that we just gave you. Keep them. Keep them. Hold fast to them. Stay tightly with them. Hang out with other people who also want to see you following these commandments. Be around people who are passionate for these to be prominent in your life. He says, if you do this, you'll probably have a good life. You'll probably have a life that is fruitful. He's essentially saying, no, John Calvin, it's not, you just set it up and you do whatever you want. He says, we participate in what God wants in this world. We participate passionately in God's commands. And we are a people that say, yes, I want to know God. That's why we worship together. That's why we do Vacation Bible School. We answer the command of God that says, teach this to your children and teach it to your children's children. This week, for 5 days, for five mornings, some of you sent your children and your grandchildren here. And it was my joy to invite children up here and ask them, who wants to follow Jesus? And they said, yeah, we can come down the front. And they were praying here. Some people, some kids really knew what was going on. Some others just followed everybody else. But we offered them Christ. And we said to them, this is what we're passionate about. This is why we have a continuous focus on the future. This is why we say be passionately participating. Because this gives us life, amen? To see the kids here this week was such a blessing to me. Follow the commands of God and you will have life and life in all its fullness. Keep this. Hold fast to it. Then he said, but if your heart turns away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. It is possible not to follow God's commands. It is possible to choose to not have life. It is possible that we will choose things that are not good for our life. Amen? We choose things and we realize this is not good. In fact, if any nation, if any group of people could claim that they were the people that God loved, if any nation could claim predestination that their life was meant to be on a path and they didn't have to choose anything and they didn't have to follow the commands of God, it was Israel, descended from Abraham, descended from Jacob, descended from Isaac. They were the people. They were the vessel that God chose. And yet Moses, the leader, 120 years old, says, pay attention. Pay attention, listen up, check this out. Choose between life and death. If you wander away, if you don't choose to follow the commands of God, it's probably not going to be good for you. It's probably you're not going to have a long life living on earth. The kingdom of God that you really want to usher in is probably not going to usher in. Yeah, life won't be as focused and as rejoicing on what's really important in your life. He says, yeah, you have the opportunity to participate in what God's mission is for your life. You have the opportunity to hear God working in and amongst your life. Verse 17 says, today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself and firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord your God swore to you to give to your ancestors, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Since you got a choice, and you can make this choice. It can be a little complex between God setting up the world and us choosing the world. And our statement, everything happens for a reason, doesn't really fit that whole theological construct. doesn't really comfort us when we're in times of pain. Doesn't really help us when we are struggling. Adam Hamilton, a pastor in the Methodist Church, he wrote a book that we've been kind of using for these titles. It's called Half Truths. And in it, I think he sums it up well over this key topic. He says, I don't believe that everything happens for a reason. But sometimes there is a reason that things happen, and we are attentive to God's mission for our lives. Do you want to know what happened to Darby? So the helicopter goes over. He jumps out. He jumps out of the helicopter just like he's done on many, many occasions. Jumped on all sorts of different kinds of ships. This one was an awkward space to get into. There was whips and aerials and radar material on top. And for some reason, the pilot sends back to the ship, hey, we got a bow. I'm going to hit the aerials. And we're not going to be able to do it. And Darby is descending down the rope. And as he's descending down the rope, he hears the command from up high. He hears the command. He hears the command from the flight observer. And the flight observer says what? Hold fast. And he grabs the rope as tight as he possibly can. He wraps his leg around the rope. It stands on the rope. And holds on for his dear life. And the helicopter pulls away with him hanging on the rope like this. Comes back round to the back of the ship. Lands him safely on the deck. Helicopter pulls away, pulls the rope in, lands on the deck. You okay? Okay. Ah, it's so funny when we've seen you go by, hanging off the rope. Ah, you're so funny. Darby lives today because he listened to the command. He lives today and has a great life. Last picture I seen him on Facebook was paddling across the sea. Darby lives today because he listened to the command. He realized that his mother brought him up well to pay attention to those in authority. He realized that those who were more experienced than him, who know what they're doing, had an opportunity to help his life. And instead of him letting him just plop on the deck of the ship, he held fast to the command that he'd been told. Moses said, hold fast to the commands. Hold fast to the command that you've been given. You can make a difference to the world around you by holding fast to those commands. Everything happens for a reason. Better things happen when we choose to follow God's commands. Amen. Everything happens for a reason. Better things happen when we choose to follow God's commands. And today I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to follow God's command. Maybe there's some messages in your mind, in your mental state that you've been telling yourself. You've been wiring your brain to say you are lesser. And when you follow God's command, that's not what he says. Maybe you need to choose life in your mental health capacity. Maybe there's an emotion, a place in your life that you just keep going to all the time, and you need to ask God, you need to say to God, I choose life in this situation. Maybe there's a toxic relationship that you're involved in that you would love to know how to choose life in that situation. Maybe deep down spiritually, the key to your life, you need to make a choice. Today, I want you to choose life. The kneelers are open, the steps are open. If you want to come down and move from your seat to do that, you're welcome to sit in your chair and reflect about this choice. But the choice is for each and every one of you. Choose life. We're going to worship together. During that time, I want you to pray and reflect. Spend some time at the kneelers should you wish to choose life.